Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You want to hear about the Lord Jesus? Good. That's what we're here for. Yeah, I tried to print it off this morning and I had to go to new school. Google Doc to my phone. There's a printer's out of 80, so I like that old school. I'm going to new school this morning. I heard a list of 5 things from last week, so we're going for number 1 this morning. I'm not going to mess around with the bottom. We're going for number 1 this morning. We're going to be talking about forgiveness.
Man. No.
For those of you scholars out there that like your Hebrew, the Hebrew word for forgiveness, for forgive, is nasa. Nasa. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your amazing creation, how you created everything. The land, the sea, the animals, Adam and Eve in 6 days. We praise you for your wonderful power in creation that we saw even this morning as we gazed upon what you've made. We praise you for your goodness to us and our families and our friends and our churches. And pray that you continue to build those relationships and build up these local churches that are proclaiming the news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. We pray that you would continue to build us up in brotherly love with one another. And we pray that you would help us to forgive one another and be quick to forgive our spouses and our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, that we might live as in peace as much as possible. We praise you for letting us have this time together. And I just ask that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would be with us this morning and guide the words of my mouth and protect me from foolishness. And keep to the straight way, Lord, and ask for your help in those things in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Forgiveness should be a word that makes you immediately thankful and acknowledge who you are as a fallen creature. Immediately acknowledge that you need help, that we need the help of our great creator God that sent his son to this earth and by the power of his resurrection has gotten us forgiveness. So it's hard for me to move on to what I was going to talk about because I just kind of want to sit there for a second. But think about this word forgiveness. You look up the word forgiveness in the Hebrew, and it just keeps giving definition after definition after definition. So I picked out some of my favorites. I don't know if that's a good way to define the word, but that's how I did it. First one was bear up. Bear up underneath the burden. Forgive. Bear up underneath it. To carry, I'm going to carry that. I'm going to forgive. Obtain pardon. Obtaining pardon. Obtaining that forgiveness by somebody else's graciousness and mercy. To spare is to forgive. To take away that right of remembering that wrong. To yield. To forgive, you have to yield. To wear it. I like that one. I'm going to wear it. And then forgive. I'll take that on me. I'm going to wear it. So I want to get your minds engaged a little bit this morning. What do you think the first story of forgiveness is in the scriptures? Starting in Genesis. What comes to mind? So I'll let you think on that. Don't shout it out. I know there's a bunch of wizards in here that know all the answers. So let everybody else think on that for a minute. I'm actually going to change my mind on my answer. When God clothed Adam and Eve when they were naked, I think there was some forgiveness. They knew they were naked by that point. I think there was some forgiveness in that he took an animal and shed its blood to get them skins to cover what thick leaves couldn't. But moving past that one, and there's probably other examples as well, but I want you to think about this one. There was a man who was the firstborn in his family. Well, he was the firstborn of his mother. Anyway, he was a shepherd. But he was loved the most by his father. He was prophesied to be a ruler. Can you picture who this guy is here? His brothers were jealous of him. That should help you. And they didn't believe him. He was stripped of his coat. I heard somebody whisper back there, you help, just listen to that guy back there. He was stripped of his coat, that coat was dipped in blood. And he was sold by one of the 12. Judah. Be specific. He went to Egypt. There he was falsely accused of rape. You ever been falsely accused of rape? That can't be a pleasant experience. Falsely accused of rape and was sent to prison and was punished. He was there with two others that were condemned to die. One of them got pardoned. One of them didn't. When he was there talking to the baker and butler, he said, "Remember me." To the butler, he was restored to play his kingdom. He said, "Remember me." Interestingly enough, he was forgotten. But then he was remembered. And then, not soon after that, beginning at the age of 30, he started working for Pharaoh. And then all knees started bowing to him. The evil that his brothers had intended for him, what did God do? He turned it to good. He saved the entire family descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the famine that could have destroyed the seed of the woman, destroyed Christ's line, and Christ wouldn't come. Think about it. If they'd all starved up there in Canaan and not come down to Egypt, Christ wasn't born. Because he didn't come through Joseph, he came through Judah. But what I want you to focus on is he offered forgiveness to the ones that sought to destroy him. He offered forgiveness to his brothers. Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 17. Is the first place that we find that word forgive in our Bibles. Genesis 50, 15 through 17. I'll give you time to turn there as I turn your electronic. Is that cheating?
No.
With my Sunday school class, that's cheating. Yeah, fifth through ninth graders. So I want them to turn the page. Everyone's going to know where stuff is. It says this, Genesis 50, 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." You think? You only threw him in a pit, left him for dead, lied to his father, telling him he was dead, then sold him to a bunch of guys coming through with camels. You think? You think he could hold a grudge with that? Do you think he would have to bear up underneath something to forgive them? You think he would have to wear it, so to speak? Verse 16, so they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. So we're gonna plug in and use the death of your father that you're mourning to hopefully get it." And what do they want to use that for? What do they ask for? This is interesting. 17, say to Joseph, please forgive. I mean, you can start right there. "Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So he goes on to forgive his brothers. I probably have some pretty good stories on forgiveness that I can look up that Spurgeon told. There's some other guys that I keep in my commentary section, but there's not a better story than that. And that's right from God's word. You can spend a lot of time on the forgiveness that Joseph had for his brothers. You had 11 brothers that threw you in a pit and then sold you off to Egypt. Could you wear it? What have you had done against you this week that you needed to wear?
Mm-hmm.
Are we quick to forgive?
Mm-hmm.
What did the Lord Jesus say?
72.
If you don't forgive, oh, yeah, he's jumping ahead. He's numbers already. I love the numbers. Yeah, 70 times 7. How often should we forgive? I don't think 78 is out of the possibility. So that's the first use of forgive in the Bible. So Here's your second question of one. What caused the Lord to not be willing to forgive? In Deuteronomy. Think Deuteronomy with me. What caused the Lord not to be willing to forgive? The scripture says, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him. It's against you. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him. Those are scary words, gentlemen. What is it that offends the Lord Jesus Christ so much? And in the scripture, it said, the Lord will not be willing to forgive them. So just so you hold me to it, I'm not making this up. Turn to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verses 16 through 19. We'll give you a little context to this. I think it'll help you. It's Deuteronomy 29, 20 that says, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him. But let's look at the verses that lead up to that. Should be interesting to us. What would offend the Lord so much that he says, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him? In Deuteronomy 29, 16, it says, you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. Remember that word, nations. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which are among them. Beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poison that sends bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I'll be safe. I shall be safe. Though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, I'll be okay. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. Then the Lord says, the Lord will not be willing to forgive him. It's amazing how serious the Lord takes the first commandment, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He will not be willing to forgive in this instance. Found that interesting. I wasn't looking for this. I was looking at forgiveness. And I was like, maybe that's a good reminder for us this morning. Mm-hmm. Hey, Boulder, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You want forgiveness? This is not the way, folks. It's a good warning to our family and friends in this area. Question number three. What famous ceremony included a prayer for forgiveness? Famous Old Testament ceremony included a prayer for forgiveness. This is the prayer. And listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place. When you hear, forgive. That's the prayer of Solomon during the temple dedication. Mm-hmm. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. Solomon was asking God to hear the prayers of his people and forgive. That's good stuff right there. That's a leader. How did Solomon lead? He wanted forgiveness for his people. Because he knew. And what happened later on down the line into the Kings, when you read into the rest of Kings, God stopped forgiving and started sending them away to the captivities. First, the northern tribes to the Assyrian captivity, and then the southern two tribes, the Judah and Benjamin, to the Babylonian captivity. You remember why? Started breaking that first commandment, going after the gods and the nations around them. He takes that first commandment seriously. Which song? Question four, which song in the Bible sings of forgiveness? Well, there's probably a few. The first one I found was in Psalms 25, 18. Psalm 25, 18, it says, consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. It was in their hymn book. It was in the hymn book of the Israelites. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Not only should we be asking God to help us through our trials and afflictions, and everybody's going to go through them. He promised us those. Welcome to the Christian life. You're going to have troubles in this life. But when we ask for rescue from those afflictions, then we also ask for forgiveness. It's a good balance. Because we still sin, don't we? We can't get rid of this flesh. Question five, which prophet connected the new covenant with forgiveness? Which prophet connected the new covenant with this forgiveness idea, with wearing it? says this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And then he says this, for I will forgive their iniquity. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. See, forgiveness is connected to a three-letter dirty word, dirtier than the other four-letter words that people talk about today. It's that three-letter word, sin, that we need to be worried about. Because sin is the breaking of God's holy law, and that offends him. That's what makes him not forgive. So our prayer should be for our life, and hope should be in his forgiving their iniquity and remembering our sin no more. That's... You guys know that prophet now?
Isaiah.
Jeremiah. Yeah, maybe in Isaiah as well. Isaiah talked about forgiveness as well, but I picked Jeremiah this morning for you. What's the first time forgiveness is mentioned in the New Testament? Think on that one for a second. First time forgiveness is mentioned in the New Testament. It was when Jesus was teaching us to pray. See, forgiveness ought to be a subject of your prayers, not only your enmity, but your prayer life. He said, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus' instruction in prayer is saying this forgiveness, this wearing it, this bearing it up, is a two-way street. You should pray to be forgiven, but as we also have forgiven our debtors. Question number 7, what's a fast way in the New Testament not to have your sins forgiven? Don't forgive others. Just skip that one. Don't give forgiveness. Don't give forgiveness to others. Don't wear it for them if you don't want yours forgiven. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a scary little portion right there. It's another place. It's not just the Old Testament talks about God not forgiving sin. Now he's moved on to the last part of the sixth commandment, of the Ten Commandments, those six that we're responsible for with our neighbor. Loving, and they're summed up, I love your neighbor as yourselves. If you don't forgive your neighbor, you're not loving your neighbor. And if you're not doing those six commandments towards your neighbor, Father won't forgive your trespasses. Now, it's kind of a conundrum because I don't do those six commandments. So I need somebody to help me out, don't I? Now we're headed towards the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we're seeing our need, because I know all of you have probably lied in this lifetime. All of you have probably stolen in this lifetime. Hopefully not today. But that means I'm talking to a room full of liars and thieves. So... you're like me, you're in need of forgiveness this morning, just as much as we ever could be. But I hope you're all rested in Christ for that. Then we can put down our filthy works, trying to do the things we need to and just rest in him. What did Jesus, here's question number 8. What did Jesus teach Peter about forgiveness? Preach it, brother.
70 times 7.
70 times 7. Turn to Matthew 18. I want you to see it with me. It's a long passage on forgiveness in the New Testament. It's another good story. I'm going to tell you a story this morning, but I'm going to let Jesus tell it. Matthew 18, and we're going to look at starting in verse 21. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. As many as a perfect number of 7 times. God created the week in 7 days, gave us our week. Didn't come from the stars, the moons, the cycles, and the heavens. He gave us the perfect size for a week, 7 days. Shall I forgive him 7 times? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I did not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Wonder where that comes up from? I didn't study this. I didn't look at what the commentator said, but my mind raced to the fact that Jesus had 11 apostles, other than Judas, that he forgave. And I bet it was more than 7 times for each one of them. So there's 77 for you to think about. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven in verse 23 may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with the servants. Want to store out forgiveness? Here you come. Here it comes. A king who wished to settle accounts with his servants and get called to the office. Isn't that a feeling? You get called to the office. Oh, I'm going to have to settle up. Hope I don't have to wear it. Verse 24, when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold and his wife, with his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. That's a bad trip to the office. And so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. What he wanted. He wanted forgiveness, didn't he? He wanted forgiveness. I have stuck to my duty on my debts. Imagine our country having that idea. He fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. Woo. He wore it for him. 10,000 talents? That wasn't money that guy was ever going to be able to repay. It's a huge amount of money. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Not much. And seizing him, he began to choke him and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. Ironic. Have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused. And he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. I hope in your mind the story is forcing you to be that man.
Yeah.
Who's been forgiven and be reminded of when you need to forgive. Put yourself in that place. Don't make yourself anybody else in the story. It's too easy, right? Mm-hmm. Take on the hard job. Wear it. Get underneath it. Now you have to forgive. Somebody wronged you. Ooh. Somebody hit your car. Somebody burned down your boat. Somebody fill in the gap. My daughter rolls her eyes at me. Holy smokes. I don't know how to wear that, fellas. Pray for me. Anyway. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. In verse 31, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. We shouldn't be worried about our fellow servants seeing us not forgive. Our minds should be on our Heavenly Father that sees us all the time. And the Lord Jesus who sees us, sees God, and sees us not forgive. Can you picture the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven at the right hand of the Father who died on that cross going, I died for that man. He's not forgetting. Don't be there. It's not a place where you will be. His fellow servants saw what had taken place. They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their master, all that had taken place. See, we don't need somebody to tattletale on us when we don't forgive. God knows. That should make you go like this, right? God knows. Then his master summoned him back to the office and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's hardcore. I didn't need to be hardcore with you. I want to encourage you from the word this morning. But boy, this serious business here. God didn't mess around. He knows everything. That's just a fearful thought. She may give you fear and awe of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He knows everything. Number 9. What two other commands are to be combined with forgiveness? What two other commands are to be combined with forgiveness? I want to impress this upon your mind this morning. I don't think that's a wrong answer at all. Repentance and faith have certainly come to a sinner that needs forgiveness, and that's required of them.
Repentance
and faith, those are good ones. I want to show you a different one. I think there's one answer here, so I wasn't trying to trip you up. Look at Ephesians 4:32 with me. Ephesians 4:32, I found it interesting that these two were combined with forgiveness. The answer, my friends, is kindness and tender hearts. Kindness and tender hearts. Think about the fellow that wouldn't forgive us, the dude for 100 denarii. He wasn't kind. He wasn't tenderhearted. He was hard-hearted. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. That two-way forgiveness, we don't forget that. It's two-way forgiveness again. But it's connected to being kind to one another, being tenderhearted. Don't be hard-hearted. Forgive one another. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's talking about the Lord Jesus. And I'll leave you with this. Jesus was firstborn in his family. Jesus is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and it is a shepherd. He was most loved by his father. He was prophesied to be a ruler, one who would rule with a rod of iron. His brothers were jealous of him. See, Jesus had brothers too, remember? A couple of them ended up writing a couple books of scripture that are pretty good, so I recommend James and Jude to you. Jesus' brothers didn't believe him. Remember when his brothers and his mother came to see him? He's outside, and Jesus said, well, who are my mother and my brothers? Because they were coming to take him off to the crazy asylum. They're like, sorry, guys, let us shuffle him out of here. They didn't believe him, did they? Jesus was stripped of his coat. Jesus' coat was dipped in blood. He's going to come on a white horse in a robe soaked in blood. He was sold by the 12, one of the 12. His name was Judas. That's Greek for Judah. He went to Egypt, just like Joseph. And he was falsely accused, just like Joseph. And he was punished, just like Joseph. Jesus was with two others on either side of the cross who were condemned to die. One of them was pardoned and given life. Joseph said, remember me to the butler, but the thief on the cross said, remember me to Jesus. All knees bowed to Joseph. Guess what? Every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Joseph started his work for Pharaoh at 30. Jesus started his earthly ministry about the age of 30. And the evil that Jesus's countrymen had for him, God meant it for good. Boy, you ought to be thankful for those men that wanted evil for Jesus, because that's what sent him to the cross to forgive us. And both Jesus and Joseph offered forgiveness to those who sought to destroy them. What was the prayer of Jesus on the cross? Forgive them, for they
don't know what they're doing.
Don't know what they're doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for forgiveness. We confess to you that we're sinful men, even today, and that we need your forgiveness. We pray that you'd hear our prayers and forgive us and help us to have a kind and tender heart and quick to forgive others that wrong us. That we'd ask for your help in doing that, not that we would be made right before you. We know that only your blood on the cross can do that. We ask for that so that we might honor and glorify you in this life out of thankfulness for what you did on the cross for us. And we just praise you this morning for your resurrection from the dead. It gives us that great hope of forgiveness. And we just thank you this morning, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.